Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. Today's message is entitled, Is It Clean? We all as human beings have to deal with cleanness. Sometimes we don't even know, some people don't even know what the word clean means. We must assume that because the way they take care of themselves, it can tell that maybe they don't know how to be clean. Or maybe they don't know how to discern between what clean is unclean. Generally speaking, how do we determine when something or someone is clean or unclean? Who decides? How do we define what is clean? Of course, one practical way for us to discern what is clean, what is not clean, is to use our senses. And I like always to say that there is no sense that is more important to us than common sense. But we see when something is not clean or clean, we actually see with our eyes. We use our eyes, our sight. Sometimes we can smell it. Yes, things that are going bad, things that are unclean, usually they have a unique smell. The smell of death, the smell of something that is going bad. Also taste, yes, even taste. Sometimes we taste things we know that is something is unclean, something is bad about it. Sometimes by our touch. And most of all, by what we can hear. We hear by what we learn, by our knowledge, our personal knowledge. Sometimes even by instinct, even before we grow big or older, even children can notice when something is not right, we have a sense, and that is something that God put in us. We have a sense between what is clean and unclean, because clean means safe, unclean means unsafe. So what is clean according to God? What does God call uncleanness? It is very important for us as humans to know what God defines as clean, because that's exactly what we should be our goal, to be clean as God wants us to be clean. Because God is the one who creates life, and He knows that cleanness is vital to preserve life. Satan also knows that our uncleanness is the best way, the best path to destruction. Uncleanness is equivalent to destruction. Cleanness is equivalent to life. That's why cleanness is an act of God. Uncleanness is an act of the enemy. So does cleanness or uncleanness have anything to do with our eternal life? Definitely yes. Of course it does. And that is the great conflict between good and evil. Good is calling you to be clean. Bad is calling you to be unclean. So everything that is unclean is attracted to those that are in their path to destruction. But everything that is clean is on the path of those that are going to eternal life. What makes something unclean? First, put in your mind the word disobedience. That is what makes something unclean. And we will explain. Also, obedience will be the opposite. Obedience will be cleanness. Disobedience will be uncleanness. The presence of waste, you know, garbage. Every place there is garbage, there is smell. And that smell is decomposition, is decay, is something that is breaking down and deteriorating. That is the presence of bacteria and microorganisms that is consuming that particular waste as a source of their energy. you have heard the word bacteria. And every time we hear the word bacteria, especially in the pandemic that we're going now, we hear so much about bacteria, virus, and everything else. We always have lots of bacteria around us, as they live almost everywhere. We find them in the air, the soil, in different parts or even of our own bodies, and even some of the foods that we eat, such for example, yogurt and cheese and some other products, they have bacteria, but they are good bacteria. Some live even our digestive systems and help us to digest our own food. And some live on the environment and help to produce oxygen that we need to breathe in this life. But sadly, brothers and sisters, there are quite a few of these creatures that can sometimes make us very sick. So sick that sometimes even take our own lives. This is when we need to see a doctor. We are going sick, we need to see a doctor, because a bacteria, a virus is inside of us and is about, it has a mission to try to kill us, to destroy us. So we go to the doctor, and the doctor describes a medicine for us, a medication to control or to eliminate the infection. And how do they call those medicines? Antibiotics. The word anti, A-N-T-I, it comes from Latin and means against. Bio means life. So antibiotics actually means against the life of the bacteria that is killing us. In other words, it is a medication to try to kill that bacteria, to stop the infection, to stop the attack on our system. But our viruses, you know, they are tinier than a bacteria. As a matter of fact, the largest virus is smaller than the smallest of the bacteria. And one distinction about the bacteria is that the bacteria can live by itself, but the viruses, they cannot live by themselves. They need to survive inside of a host, inside of somebody. And a virus always have just a protein coat and a core of a genetic material, either a RNA or DNA, just to give instructions to them to see what they must do in order to survive. As we might think, bacteria infections are caused by bad bacteria, and viral infections are caused by viruses, and they are bad. Perhaps the most important distinction between a bacteria and a virus is that antibiotic drugs can kill a bad bacteria. But the viruses, the antibiotic cannot do anything against them. What is said in our society today, unfortunately, that has happened and have happened over and over and over again. Some people go to see a doctor because they have a bad bacteria and they have an infection. And when the doctor are not knowledgeable enough, oh yes, there are doctors that are not knowledgeable enough, or they guess and they apply the wrong antibiotic, they prescribe the wrong antibiotic. What happens is that when a bacteria get the wrong antibiotic, they get used to it, and they become like a smart bug. And that has happened that many, many times when people take medication, instead of helping them, it helps the bacteria to create other defense mechanisms. And that's why a lot of bacteria is becoming, and a lot of viruses are becoming more and more stronger and stronger, and they can survive antibiotics because they got used to it and they create different strength and they have learned to deal with it. Now, there is something that I was studying for this message, and I read a very, very long article, a study that has been conducted in Germany China, and Brazil. Why those countries? Because those people that are conducting the study, they collect some data about the COVID-19. And they notice something that they realize that it cannot be coincidence, because it repeated itself in those three particular countries in a very remarkable way. For example, in Brazil, they noticed that the largest infections of COVID-19 happened in a place that was not heavily populated at all. Very few people in the areas. And yet they have the highest contamination than all the places. They noticed the same thing in Germany. And they noticed the same thing in China. What is the thing that they noticed that it was common to all three of these countries? All the places of high contamination. Pig farms. Humans that were taking care of pigs. Pigs that are being raised to be slaughtered and to be sold for consumption, human consumption. Do you know what is interesting about the pig? And pig is, I'm using just the pig as one example, because they all the animals that unfortunately humans are in contact with and are consuming as food that is causing bacteria and viruses to have an extra strength and more ability to reach a larger part of the population. You see, pigs and humans have some similar parts of their system that is the same, like the respiratory system as our gastrointestinal systems. They are similar. So pigs can catch avian flu, for example, virus, and a human influenza virus at the same time, and then engender novel combinations that can be transmitted back to humans and infect humans. And that's humans go, and then humans become the host for a virus, and the human pass to another human, and for another human. And that's how a pandemic exists. 2 years ago, they found in a pig farm in Mexico a virus. And immediately it became a pandemic. They call the swine flu virus. You've probably heard of it before. Now, God knowing all those things about animals and know all those things that the Satan has created in this planet in order to cause death, in order to bring destruction, God one day gave a list, a scientific list, 3,500 years ago. A very fascinating list. And what I find amazing, that this list is so wonderfully put together. And yet, Satan has invited scientists, Satan has invited priests, pastors, evangelists to speak against this list. Do you have an idea what list I'm talking about? Open your Bibles, please, and let's look at the list together. Leviticus 11, verse 1, all the way to 44. We will not read every single verse, but I'd like you to please, in this afternoon, look at this list. Do you know what I call this list? I call this the holiness list, or the health list, or the life list. This Leviticus 11, verses 1 to 44, is not all about food. It's about life. It's about holiness. It's about how to be clean and live. By the way, brothers and sisters, cleanness is equal to beauty. If you want to be beautiful, be clean. Clean inside and clean outside. Before we even this, the Leviticus 11, let me say something that I hope that it stays in your mind, especially the young people. You may go to the store and buy a very expensive perfume. And most of the time, some perfumes are used just to cover up uncleanness because the people don't take a bath, so they bath themselves with the perfume. They just put it, sprinkle themselves, just like people think that if they just spill some water in their head, that is a baptism. Some people just put a little perfume here and there and think that that's a bath, a shower. The best perfume and the most inexpensive perfume out there is called soap. There is nothing more beautiful. There's not there's nothing that smells better than cleanness. Mothers, fathers, teach your children that to be clean is to be beautiful. It is important to be because to be clean is to be like God. Leviticus 11, verse 1 to 44, it says, verse 1, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, you know, the Lord spoke. The list comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from Moses. Like so many preachers today listen to the device of Satan himself and says to people, oh, no, no, this is just for the Jewish people. This is a Moses thing. This is not from Moses. This is not from Aaron. This is not from humans. This is from God Almighty himself who spoke and he said, tell the children, tell my children, these are the animals which you may, emphasis on the may, you may eat. You don't have to. You may eat if you need it as food. Verse 3, among the animals, and then he describes, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hoofs and chewing the cud, that you may eat. You don't have to, remember, you don't have to, but you may eat. Verses 4 to 8, it tells about the land animals that are unclean. And it says clearly, it's unclean to you. It is unclean to you. And if you look carefully, it repeats almost every verse. It's unclean to you. It's unclean to you. It's unclean to you. They are unclean to you. Verse 4 all the way to 8. 1, 2, 3, 4 times. One says, it's unclean to you. Leave it alone. Why would you try to be unclean? Why do you want to smell like death? Why do you want to eat what will be killing you? Remember, one of the senses that must help you to between the question of being clean and unclean is common sense. Talking about common sense, you can ask one of your children, no matter what age they have. Ask them, take a cup, a glass cup, you know, that you can fit through. Take it from the dishwasher and see that it's very clean. You can even look with a microscope to see that there's no bacteria. It's clean, clean, clean. And then ask your child, what would happen if I put a very clean water inside of this cup? Would that cup remain clean? Oh, yes, Mom, yes. Clean in a clean becomes clean. But what about if we go in a backyard and there is a little pot of water for the last rain and there's muddy and everything else? What about if I take some of that water and I put it in a cup? What will happen to the cup? Would the cup remain clean if it has unclean liquid inside of it? Would you drink from a cup that is clean, but with unclean water inside of it? Doesn't whatever you put inside the cup turn the cup unclean as well? That's common sense. So, of course, it makes a difference what I eat, what I don't eat. Verse 9 says, animals that live on the sea or in the river that you may eat, what are they? He says, those who have fins and scales. By the way, You can take a lobster, a cucaracha from the sea, and you can pray. You can pray 100 years for the lobster to create, to show up its fins and its scales. It will not happen. That is a trash collector. That is a death collector. If you eat death, you bring death to you. That is unclean. That's a garbage collector. Same thing with those worms, those ugly worms they call shrimp. They don't have fins. They don't have scales. They are not fish. They are garbage collector. When a human being dies in the sea and they drop the human being on the water, and that human being goes, the corpse goes to the bottom. Here comes a shark, takes a bite. Here comes another, and finally all the rotten is go to the bottom, and here come the shrimps, and they have a party, and they eat that human being, and then here comes another human being and collect those worms and bring to the table, put in front of another human being. As a revenge, they will eat the ones who eat that. Disgusting, right? No wonder why there is so many diseases and they are multiplying. The viruses are getting stronger and stronger because humans, no matter how much effort they make, if they keep creating medication, but they keep creating diseases, we're never going to win this battle, ever. Now we have this pandemic, and there will be more like a pandemic if we keep eating trash, if we can eat what is unclean, if we don't care about life, then death will come. Verse 10 to 12, it says, animals that live in the sea in the river that you cannot eat. And remember, I'm not calling fish because shrimp is not a fish. The cucaracha, lobster is not a fish. They are garbage collectors. Their purpose for their existence is to try to eat trash so the trash will not feed bacteria or virus and that will not contaminate us as humans. Verse 13 to 20, as well as 23, 23rd, it says, animals and insects that fly that you cannot eat. And then it says, in the New King James Version, it says, they are an abomination for you. They are sin. Leave them alone. Verse 21 to 22, insects that fly that you may eat. You don't have to, again, but you may eat. The list is in verses 21 to 22. Verse 24 to 26. Here is a device about how to avoid contamination. He says, don't touch it. If they are unclean and they are dead, they are diseased, about to happen. Leave them alone. Don't touch, because you touch them, then you put your hand in your mouth, then you bring to you death. If you touch death and you bring death to you, leave these animals alone. So 24 to 26, don't touch it. Avoid contamination. 27, 28, animals that walk on their paws, you cannot eat. You're not supposed to eat cats, tigers, lion. You cannot, because they are unclean. And if you look how many times in this list it says unclean, 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 unclean. It's unclean to you. How many times in order to get to your skull? Don't eat trash, because if you eat trash, you eat death. You're kidding yourself. Verse 29 to 31, as well as 41 to 43. Crawling animals you cannot eat, because again, it keeps repeating, unclean, unclean. It's unclean to you. Don't touch it. Leave them alone. Verse 32 to 40. Avoid contamination. Don't touch it. They are unclean. And look, count from verse 32 to 40. Count how many times the word unclean. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Unclean, unclean. 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 times. It's unclean, it's unclean. And finally finish in NIV, New King James says, because they are abomination to you. You shall not eat them. Verse 40, 42. Whatever crawls on its belly, like snakes, crocodiles, leave them alone. They are unclean to you. They are abomination to you. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creeps. Shall not make yourselves unclean with them, lest you be defiled by them. You be made unholy by them. Now a preacher may come to you and say, oh, salvation has nothing to do with what we eat. Really? Ask the preacher if there is a Genesis chapter 3 in their Bibles. And then probably will change their mind when they see that it was a bite that got ourselves all in this big mess. Death came to this world because of a bite. So don't tell me that what we eat doesn't matter. And it has nothing to do with salvation. Oh yes, it has a lot to do with salvation. Because cleanness and holiness is the same thing. Cleanness and life is the same thing. Uncleanness and death is the same thing. Verse 44, it says, for I am the Lord your God. Yes, remember when he came, he says, the Lord God, he spoke to Moses. He says, now the conclusion of the list, he says, because I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore consecrate yourselves. In other words, consecrate means you have to make yourself holy. Separate, being clean. Don't be unclean like everybody else. Being clean, consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy. Why you should be holy? Because I am holy, he said. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Don't make, and New Century Version says, don't make yourselves unclean with any of these things, any of these animals. It is very important for us, brothers and sisters, to understand that list, this list very well. Very briefly, I'd like to introduce to you another list. And that list is also a health list. You find this list in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, all the way to 17. But I'm not going to read all the verses. I'm just going to read the list. You shall not have other gods before me. Verse 3, Exodus 20, verse 3. I'm reading from King James. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourselves a carved image. Don't be a fool. Don't create a god and then bow yourself before him, because that's ridiculous. That means an act of stupidity. How can you make a god and then you bow before that own god that you made yourself? You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. So don't behave. If you are God's student, behave like God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember who you are, who created you. All those, this list has to do with health, with our own health. Because if we got put God before any other God, we'll be clean like God is clean. We'll be holy like God is holy. If we don't make a God for ourselves, we're not going to become like what we carve ourselves. So don't make images. We must keep the name of God holy, because then we know who our Father is. In Isaiah 58:13, it says, if you turn away your feet from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, not speaking even your own words, then you really can say that you remember the Sabbath is holy, and Abba is holy. Then you can tell, yes, my life is clean. I am clean because God makes me clean. Honor your father and your mother. Yes. You shall not murder. Preserve life. Murder, the sixth commandment has to do with preserving life. Has to do a lot of what we eat. It has to do how we keep our bodies. How we value life. What do we eat and what do we not eat. And by the way, brothers and sisters, just because something, you don't find something in a list of Leviticus. So, Pastor, I don't find here, it doesn't mention Coca-Cola. It doesn't mention caffeine. When the list says, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill, anything that you put in your body, alcohol, or caffeine, or too much sugar, or any substance, being clean or unclean, anything you put in your body that it will harm your body, will take your life, it becomes unclean to you. Because that it makes damage to you, is destroying your life. You shall not commit adultery, you must be loyal. You shall not steal. Yes, brothers and sisters, everything that belongs to God should be returned to God. The Bible says in Malachi, why are they robbing me in tithes and offerings? It doesn't say only tithes, it says tithes and offerings. Yes, brothers and sisters, it's good health practice. Make sure that your conscience is clean. You shall not bear false witness. And the last one, 10, you shall not covet. Every time I read this verse, I think about the COVID-19. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, nothing that belongs. Sometimes this is the time when we should not be even in our neighbor's house because of the COVID-19. So you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not even covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Keep a distance. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 12 to 14, I'm not going to read the verse because it's kind of a little awkward statement, but it tells us that it says when the human beings, the Israelites, they need to go and do their business every day, and it says go outside of the camp and take a tool with you and make sure that you dig a hole and cover everything else, because, verse 14, the Lord your God moves around through your camp to protect you and to defeat your enemies for you. So the camp must be holy. What is the Lord saying? That the presence of waste, human waste, makes diseases, brings death, brings uncleanness. And look what the rest of the verse says. So the camp must be holy. He must not see anything unclean among you so that he choose to leave. God cannot be in anywhere where death, uncleanness is, filthy is. That's why we are asked not to put anything unclean inside of us, because the scripture tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what makes us unclean? Disobedience. Yes, disobedience to God's both lists, Leviticus 11 and Exodus 20. If we do not follow those lists, we become disobedient, we become unclean. What makes us clean? Conviction. Conviction in God's instructions and in His commandments. Conviction about our own condition and how to seek help. The Bible says we need washing. Yes, the baptism. Some people say that we don't need baptism. Well, of course we do. The Bible says those that believe in are baptized will be saved. It is important to be baptized. It is important to be washed. But there are exceptions. There are some people that cannot, for good reason, if for some reason they have never heard about, God will use Jesus' baptism and will give credit for the person who has not been able to be baptized because they couldn't have. But everyone who knows how and could will not receive an excuse. So you must be washed. Disinfecting. Oh yes, there are some of us that are being infected by some bad habits, some sin that we keep carrying along, even though we know that this sin is a virus is killing us, but we need to be disinfected. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the word of God's grace on us. We need to be turned back to obedience, to cleanness. And we need to make not just a once in a while change, but we need a permanent change. Because that's the only thing that can guarantee eternal life. If it's that our change is permanent for good, we need a new life. We need to be in Christ a new creature. I take this next verse very, very serious. I take all the verses very serious, but this one is very personal. Because in Ezekiel 44, verse 23, New Century Version, it says, they, talking about us, the ministers, the pastors, it says, they must teach my people the difference between what is holy and what is not holy. They must help my people to know what is unclean and what is clean. Brothers and sisters, I'm following God's instructions. I'm doing exactly what He told me to do. He told me, you must teach my people to tell the difference between what is holy and what is not, what is unclean and what is not, what is clean and what is not unclean. So, Isaiah 1 verse 16, today's scripture, it says, wash yourselves, brothers and sisters. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Exodus 19 verse 10 and 11, it says, and the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them. Today and tomorrow. And then wash their clothes. Remember before it says, I will not come to the camp if there is any uncleanness in the camp. Now the Lord says, I want to meet with you, but make sure that everybody wash themselves, wash their clothes, because I don't want anything to do with uncleanness. Verse 11 says, and let them be ready, mean clean, on the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. God does not want to see uncleanness in our homes, in our lives, in the lives of our children. Parents, look, make sure that your children are not bringing unclean things to their home, not as far as food, as far as material that they can be reading on the website or whatever. Don't let them get it dirty, because uncleanness kills. It kills our spirituality. It kills our body. It kills our connection. That's the purpose of the devil. Uncleanness, he knows, is the tool that he must have in order to destroy humanity, in order to separate us from God Himself. And Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm life. And we need Christ. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, New Century Version says, dear friends, we have this promise from God, so we should make ourselves pure, free from anything that makes us unclean. We should try to become holy in the way we live. Everything that we do, every step we take must show cleanness, must show holiness, because we respect God. John 14, 15, New King James, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep yourself clean. If you love me, be holy. And how do we become holy, brothers and sisters? We cannot do by ourselves. All that we can do and we must do is confess our sins. And He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. He will make us clean, but we need to let him do it. And how do we do that? By confess our sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Psalms 51, verse 7 and 10. David, after he committed so horrendous sin, not only committed adultery, but he robbed, stole the wife of one of his soldiers, and then put him to die and kill him and some of his soldiers. He was one terrible sin that he committed. A year later, finally, when he came to his senses, he said this, verse 7, "Take away my sin, and I will be clean," he said. "Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." And then verse 10, he says, "Create in me a pure heart, God, and make my life right again." I want my life to be back to the same state that it was before when you were in my part of my life. But that is only possible. This can only be possible if I can be clean again. So, Lord, create in me a pure heart. Make me clean, clean. Psalm 51, 7, 8. In this story, the Bible has a story about uncleanness and death. And, of course, the outcome was, to some extent, positive. I'm talking about Naaman. Naaman was a captain of the Syrian army. He has come to Israel many times to inflict Israel. He was hated. Israel did hate him more than anything else. He took a lot of the children of Israelis captive, and they became slaves in Syria. Even into this day, there is a tremendous hate between Israel and Syria. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 12 and to 14, it talks about an incident that Naaman contracted leprosy. And he went to all his priests and all his doctors on his country, and the king helped him and everything else, but nothing worked. So finally, one little slave girl, one that they took from Israel, she told them, "Oh, but you know, there is a man of God in Israel. You know, the country that you guys hate and attack and destroys all the time, where I come from, where you guys brought me, you know, that country that you guys think that is a wasteland, that there's nothing there. There is a man of God there. And that man, he has a solution for your problem. If you want to get well, go to see him." This is a slave girl, a tiny little girl. Who is she for anybody to pay attention? But Naaman was so desperate because he tried everything. So he said, "Why not?" And he packed a lot of gold, a lot of very expensive gifts. And he says, "Let me bribe this man of God. Let me give him so many things that, in other words, I want to pay for it. I don't want to tell them that they helped me. I want to pay." And he came with that attitude. For his surprise, the man of God did not even meet him. Just sent him a message and told him, "Go to the Jordan and take a bath. Wash yourself in a Jordan River, and hear what the answer of Naaman. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel?" Let me tell you what he meant. Those rivers, they come from the mountains, and so their water is clean, beautiful, and you can drink those waters, very clean. But the Jordan is a muddy river. You know, it's not very attractive. So you cannot even, in some part, you cannot even drink the water. So that's what he meant. You know, we have a better water, better rivers. Why don't I just go there? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned back and he started to go away in rage. He was mad. I would have wasted some time. That little girl, I'm not teaching her when I go back. Probably was feeling like that. What a waste of my time. But then one of his wise servants close to him, he spoke to him and said, my father, and I can see that he was trembling because he says, how do I dare? If he gets mad, he can chop my head off. He said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, wouldn't you not have done it? How much more than when he says to you, simply wash and be clean. What is the big deal, sir? By the way, it's so wonderful to always to have very wise people around us to help us, to come to our senses sometimes. So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to what he was told. 7 times. Perfect. 7. According to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like a flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Not only he became clean, but he became as good looking as a child, the beauty of a child, you know, the not wrinkles or anything else, the beautiful live skin. You know, I love my God, because God not only when he performs a miracle, he goes beyond. He really want to make sure that this Naaman and everybody. Imagine when the Naaman came back to visit his wife, when his wife looked at his skin, she said, wow. Yes. Listen to the man of God. Do as he tells you to do. I'm saying this to you, brothers and sisters. If you want to be clean, you have to listen to the word of God. If you want to have your skin, your life restored to you, you must listen to the word of God. Romans 6:23, just the first part says, for the wage of sin is death. Death is all around us. Microorganisms, instruments of Satan, is causing a lot of death, a lot of sadness, a lot of separation. And sometimes we are the ones who are digging our own graves with our forks or with our teeth, because we are eating uncleanness. We are feeding the bugs that are there in our bodies to kill us. Wake up, brothers and sisters. Don't bring disease to your plate. Don't bring death to your plate. Don't give your appetite the control of your life. Control what you eat, and you may know better how long you live. James 4:17, the New Living Translation, give us this warning. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then choose not to do it. Unholiness is equal to death. Uncleanness is equal to disease and death. Uncleanness is equal to decomposition, to decay. Don't eat as you please. And then when you start decaying, come to God and say, oh, can you restore my health? Consequences, there are consequences that God's grace can remove from your life. But there are some consequences that you have to live to it or die to it. 1 John 1 verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sins. God's grace is available to those that repent. Not those that want to go back and do it again. So don't tempt God thinking that God's grace is a tool for you to get away from the consequences of your sins. God's grace is to enable us to defeat sin and to reject uncleanness in our lives. Matthew 5, verse 8, New Central Version says, "They are blessed whose thoughts are pure, for they will see God." Blessed are those that our thoughts are pure, are clean, for they will see God. If you are clean, you see God. If your thoughts are clean, you see God. But if you are dirty outside and inside, uncleanness cannot be in the presence of God. God cannot be present. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, New Living Translation. Don't you realize, my brothers and sisters, that all that we are teaching, all those things to you, is because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you must be holy. You must be clean. Or the Holy Spirit won't be in you. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you if you are holy. Because the Holy Spirit was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself anymore. You don't have the luxury to be unclean. You must be clean because you belong to a holy God, a clean God. Hebrews 10, verse 22, New Century Version. Let us come near to God with a sincere heart, with a pure heart, with a clean heart, in a sure faith, because we have been made free from a guilty conscience, and our bodies have been washed with the pure water. God said He is the living water. He is that water that wants to clean us, wash us pure. The blood of Christ wants us to make us clean. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, there is four verses that I would like to share with you. First, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Matthew 8, verse 2, New King James, it says, "And behold, a leper came and worshipped Jesus, and he said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" I want you, my brother and sister, all of us today, close your eyes and say with me if you really mean it. Say this short prayer that this leper did many, many years ago, almost 2,000 years ago. He said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." I want to be clean, my brother and sister. I want the Lord to make me clean. Don't you want to be clean? Is it clean? Is your heart clean yet? Is your life clean yet? You may have cleaned your house very well. You have made clean your backyard. You have cleaned your garage. But all those things stay behind. The most important part of you that needs to be clean, it's you. Because if you are clean, you'll be driven to clean everything else around you. Your faith will be clean. Your thoughts will be clean. Your eating will be clean. Your life will be clean. You'll be holy. And final verse for today, it's from the New Living Translation, Philippians 4, verse 8. I'd like to make my brother Paul's words as our final words for this morning. As he says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worth of praise. Are you clean? It is my prayer that you are. Are you holy? If you are clean, you are. The question is for today, is it clean? I hope your answer, by God's grace, will be, yes, it is clean. Because the Lord has made it clean. And we'll remain clean until He comes to take us home. God bless.